I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Alley podcast, post-trade deadline edition. We are done with all that. Hooray. We made it through. I did not pass out on deadline day, though maybe the late trades made me think about it. So either way, I'm Andrew Burns, joined as always by Kun Shaw. How are you doing?
I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a weird week for the
Yankees. Yeah, it's been a weird week.
It's honestly been a weird several weeks. If you go back to the start of July, the Yankees are 14-15, which is very weird considering how well they were playing prior to July. But now they're suddenly a very 500-ish team over, like, not an insignificant amount of time. It honestly goes back to, like, mid-June as well, too, at the end of the 9-game winning streak. That ended with like some games against the Cubs and stuff, but they've been very up and down since then. And it's getting a little frustrating if we're being honest. It's like not a situation of like being super worried about them making the playoffs at this point, but like there's just not been a lot to inspire you right now about like, oh, this team's going to make a deep run.
Yeah, no, like the feelings we had in June are, I don't want to say completely gone, but they're on its way out the door. Like how they still have a double digit lead in the standings is just a testament to how, like, I don't know what, but yeah, it just hasn't been a fun few weeks, especially, but yeah, this last week was definitely just odd.
Yeah. And that it even included a series win, but it's also not going to impress us a super lot at this point to take 3 out of 4 at home against the Kansas City Royals. So, I mean, it's like, good. I'm glad you did that because the alternative would be embarrassing, but they were not exactly convincing wins either. There was one win that was like 11-5. That was good. But like,
yeah, that was a good thing. Game three, but like 1 and 2, especially game one, you won on an Aaron Judge walk-off home run.
Yeah.
And 1-0. So like, okay, score more than one run against the Royals, please. And then game two, I think if I have it right, like I forget what the final score was.
Yeah, that was actually the 11-5 one, but that was when they scored 8 in the 8th. So
yeah. So it was just like it was a lot closer than the final score made it seem to be.
Right. Then the third one, they won by 6, and Clark Schmidt got the 3-inning save because that's always fun. But
yeah, and that was just like a regular, like that was like I think the most normal win of the three.
Yeah, and then they lost the finale, so it's just like okay, cool, whatever.
Yeah,
and it's been an odd stretch. They've lost 2 out of 3 to the Mariners at home. That's the series that just happened that had gotten off to a good start with the 7-2 win on Monday, but then they lost back-to-back games Tuesday and Wednesday and kind of frustrating fashion, and especially on Wednesday when they were never in it really because Garrett Cole just got freaking rocked in the first inning, gave up 3 home runs and just put them in a 6-0 hole that they didn't get out of. And you do not want to see that from your ace.
Yeah, no, like you don't want to see that from anybody, but like Garrett Cole, I don't know what the hell has been wrong with him the last few weeks. He's had a very, I feel like I would say up and down season, like in the sense of like, yeah, majority of his season has been good. So like, I don't want to, you know, like, you know, go off to an extreme, but there's been a lot more bad than I would expect or am used to from Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, not exactly what the Yankees hope for from a guy like Cole to, he's getting strikeouts. He leads the league, actually, with 170, and he's been making his starts, which is extremely valuable for this team, especially. I mean, we'll get to, like, them getting out of their rotation depth a little bit later. But he's been making his starts. He's been getting his strikeouts, but he's given up 21 home runs, which is already almost as many as he gave up last year. He gave 24 last year. So the home runs have been a real problem, and it seems like whenever his command is not, like, on point, then some very fat pitches get left out over the plate. And if you look at, like, the zone from Wednesday's game of the pitches that got taken out, they were, like, right up on a tee, as Josh said in the recap.
Yeah, just again, not Gerrit Cole-like.
Yeah. So that's fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, we're not, like, saying, like, the sky is falling or anything like that. This is still a very good team. And I think if you ask, like, a lot of neutral observers, they will probably say the same thing. As Yankees fans, are probably just a little bit too close to it, but it's still not really comforting to see them play like this, because it just seems to bring, like, memories of, like, the 2021 team a lot, how they would, like, have some good stretches here, bad stretches, and then they're, like, pretty good, but ultimately not good enough in the end. So that's not fun.
I'd go that far, because, like, this 2022 team has already given us better, more good memories in 2021.
I'm more just talking about, like, how they've been playing since, like, mid-June has been very 2021. No. Like, it was with some toot plans, some bad errors, sometimes shaky relief pitching. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure, in that sense. And, yeah, like you said, like, it's not 100, it's not necessarily the sky's falling, like, oh my god, we're doomed or anything like that. But also, to what you said, it's not just, like, a tiny stretch where it's like it was just, like, a bad week or whatever. It's been kind of going on, like you said, since mid-June, which is, again, you're, to quote you exactly, not an insignificant amount of time. So I don't know. Hopefully they clean it up. Hopefully their trade deadline acquisitions do something to kind of help them kick things into gear. I will say, I'm happy at least Brian Cashman was pretty active on the trade market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a very weird deadline, because I know we've been saying weird a lot, but whatever. That's just what this last week's been. But it was a very weird deadline, because I feel like most people would have given Cashman, like a B+ or an A- or something up until, like, 5:55, and then. Came this Jordan Montgomery trade, which I just don't get, for Harrison Bader, who is, like, a really good outfielder for sure,
he's currently dead.
One for one, he has plantar fasciitis. He's probably not going to be back until, like, late August, or more likely early September. So
his targeted timeline is September. I don't even think they're even pretending August isn't a possibility.
Yeah, so they are just sacrificing their rotation depth with Jordan Montgomery, who is not a world beater, but, like, is, again, now I don't want to even say Gerrit Cole light, but he's a guy who, like, goes out and makes his starts, and you know he's going to be there every fifth day, and more likely than not, he'll give you a decent effort. But
yeah,
they are, like, just culling that from the rotation.
Yeah, and, like, Jordan Montgomery definitely has had a rough couple weeks or whatever, but at the end of the day, like, he's still does as much as he can to keep him in the game. I know, like, Aaron Boone had this weird thing where he didn't trust him a third time through the rotation and all that, which maybe it's not just a Boone being weird thing, and maybe there's actual logic to it. Like, I admittedly have not done the research into this, but it still just seems weird to just give up a Jordan Montgomery just like that for a defensive center fielder who's not even going to play for a month. It definitely seems like a move made for October than for right now, which kind of maybe just speaks to Brian Cashman having more faith in this clubhouse, like this team, like, or just having good faith in this team that, like, hey, this is just a bad stretch, but, like, you know, they'll figure it out and, you know, be the team who we thought they were. So it kind of, in that regard, makes sense to kind of, you know, make a push for October, because, you know, it's not like you can wait till September to make these kind of moves. But yeah, it's just definitely just weird. There's definitely also some, like, unconfirmed theories that I'm 100% convinced about, that Brian Cashman got screwed over by the Marlins, or just got embarrassed by the Marlins, where I definitely feel like he had a trade in place for like a Pablo Lopez, and then whatever happened, but he just pulled the trigger a little too quickly and sent Montgomery away. Because I think if everything happens the way it does, but then they do end up getting another like starter, like a Pablo Lopez or a Carlos Rodon or whoever, then it's like, okay, now I can see it. It makes sense. It's not entirely crazy, sure. But without that extra starter, it's just weird.
Yeah, and like I think deep down, I don't think that that's what happened, but it's just so strange to me to take away from the rotation depth when this is not like a bulletproof rotation. You have like Nestor's pitching well, but he's over his career high in innings. Montas is coming off the IL and has had shoulder issues, and he's another guy who came in whose trade, you know, we approved of that, but that's just something to take into consideration. Jameson Taillon has been very up and down. He had a down start after looking good for a little bit after his early July slump. So you don't really know what to expect from him. And Domingo Germán is Domingo Germán, and I do not know why the team is this confident in him, but my only theory is that they think we're like, well, we're far enough ahead in the division that he would only cost us like 2 to 3 wins maybe over Jordan Montgomery. So whatever, we don't care. And I don't know, that just seems very odd.
Yeah, no. And like, and that's, I think, part of the reason why, like, again, this is 100% me just convincing myself rather than anything, just to kind of make some logic out of it, because I just don't see the logic in it otherwise. And I think that's why I've convinced myself that he definitely thought he had something else ready to go. And then just whatever happened ended up screwing him over or whatever. Because everything you just listed, like, you know, people were talking about the Yankees needing another starter. It wasn't the Yankees need to replace a starter in the rotation. It was they needed another starter. And so to bring in a Frankie Montas, but then just get rid of a starter, it's really, yeah, I mean, Frankie Montas is definitely, you know, higher in the, you know, pecking order than Jordan Montgomery. So yeah, he did still improve the rotation, but you still have the depth questions and issues, especially with Severino and then him being transferred to the 60-day IL.
Yeah. So
that's a whole other bag of worms, can of worms. I don't think worms come in bags. But
yeah, I didn't bring up Severino in the rotation discussion, but he's absolutely someone who I think the Yankees are still planning on actually. From their comments, they still want to use him as a starter in the playoffs, but he's not going to be back until like mid-September because they put him on the 60. So it's definitely like a big risk, and you're hoping that he can get tuned up enough by then. And even then, you don't know how many innings he's going to be able to give you. Maybe he has to piggyback someone. And I don't know, just like, it seems like a needless risk. You know, if you have one guy takes a weird step, twists an ankle, then suddenly your rotation depth's even less. So I don't know. And for a guy who's like, I don't like, he's better than Tim. Harrison Bader is better than Tim LeCastro, but also Tim LeCastro offers sort of like a similar skill set. Definitely not the same potential at bat, but in terms of like speed on the bases and defensive replacement, yeah, that's pretty much your guy. But they must be really confident about what Harrison Bader can bring to them in 2023 as well. That's my only other thought.
So what you're saying is Harrison Bader is the Jacoby Ellsbury to Tim LeCastro's Brett Gardner.
Yay. Oh, boy. what a fun trade to one day. They announced that they were re-signing Brett Gardner.
Oh, God.
The ultimate trade edition from his Adirondack chair in South Carolina or whatever.
I don't know. Maybe he'll get more hits than Andrew Benintendi.
Ugh, yeah, that's another thing, too. Benintendi's not off to a good start. He's hit. He has one hit out of the infield. Or no, excuse me. He has one hit so far in his week in pinstripes, and it did not leave the infield. That's not a good start. That's not what you want to see, not what you want, et cetera, et cetera.
You want to know a fun but depressing fact?
Sure.
Like, and it's not really relevant because like this wasn't really like honestly in play for the Yankees, but Juan Soto and Andrew Benintendi have exactly the same amount of hits for their new teams.
Yeah,
Juan Soto's been there one day.
Yeah,
he's played one game.
Wow! You're saying Juan Soto is better than Andrew Benintendi? I can't believe this
analysis.
But yeah, given what I don't think the Yankees were ultimately in enough on Soto. I think they definitely wanted Soto. I think the Padres or the Nationals were not interested enough in what the Yankees
had. This is the second time you've done that.
Yeah.
In their Slack, you're like, the Padres are just weird. I'm like, no, it was the Nets.
Yeah. Well, the Padres are weird in their own way.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, no. And to Brian Cashman's credit, from everything, I mean, again, we only know what, you know, the beat reporters and everybody's tweeting out and all that stuff. So I will give Brian Cashman a little bit of credit there for genuinely seeming like he was trying to get Juan Soto and or Shohei Ohtani, like two generational, like actual team changing talents. But it seems like, you know, the two teams that had him didn't want to play. Obviously, the Angels didn't even move Ohtani, which probably good for them, because why else is anybody going to see that team right now? Because Mike Trout's still hurt. And yeah. Obviously the Nationals just, I'm sure, were like, I'm sure Brian Cashman put together a good package, because I don't think, from what we see, like, I don't think he would be prospect hugging for a Juan Soto. But it just seems like the Nationals had their sights set on what other teams had to offer. And then at that point, you can't get mad at Cashman or the Yankees.
Yeah, like, the reports,
put your best foot forward. That's all I want.
Yeah, the reports seemed like the Nationals weren't as high on Volpe as other teams and analysts are. So I think that's pretty much it right there. If you're not amazed by the top guy in the system for whatever reason, you're not going to get him.
Yeah, exactly. So, but again, I'll give Brian Cashman credit there, because it seems like this is the first time there's like been in a while where there's been like a big name available like that, where the Yankees genuinely seem to be in on, like, as far as like the trade deadline is concerned. I know they were in on Gerrit Cole and got him, but
yeah. Well, so Benintendi needs to actually start getting hits. But we should talk about Frankie Montas, though, because that was a good trade that they made with the A's. They also got Lou Trevino, so we can get the Trevino to Trevino battery. That's just delightful in its own way. But also, Lou Trevino is a better reliever than his ERA is indicated this year by pretty much any metric that goes deeper than ERA, which you should do with the relievers. So,
yeah, exactly.
And he's already looked good in his first two appearances with the Yankees. I think Trevino will be a good addition to this bullpen, in addition to Scott Efros, who they picked up from the Cubs for Hayden Wesneski, a pitching prospect. And he has a good sidearm angle that'll be very difficult for hitters to pick up, and offers a different look than a lot of these other guys in the bullpen. So some three good pitching additions there, I will say.
Except they got the wrong Cubs reliever.
Yeah, I know that you're not happy because you wanted them to get David Robertson, but oh well.
Okay, I will admit, though, where David Robertson ended up is honestly genuinely just funny, so I'm not even as mad about it, because he ended up back in the Phillies.
Take two. We're doing it again. We're running it back.
Yeah, so I genuinely just found that funny, because I saw like some comments from some Phillies fans like, he stole $23 million for us and you brought him back. I'm like, yeah, that's what happened.
Yes. Nailed it.
Anyway. No, yeah. Honestly, outside of the Montgomery trade, I don't really have many complaints about Brian Cashman's trade deadline. Like, even Andrew Benintendi, like, yeah, he's had a rough week, but I still think that, like, I don't remember if we talked about when it exactly happened, if we talked about it last week or not, but it was still a good acquisition, I think, because as much as you want like a Juan Soto or whatever, you gotta do something. And obviously Ian Happ was everyone's second choice. He didn't end up getting moved, so if Brian Cashman focuses on Juan Soto and Ian Happ, he's left with nothing right now. At least he was able to bring in Benintendi, which I do think he'll pick it up. But then again, I said the same thing about Joey Gallo.
I guess the difference is that Benintendi is more of a historic, like, actual contact hitter than, like, he's shown here. And honestly, like, he's just impossibly low right now, so he will pick it back up. But also, it's just a little bit different in terms of, like, peak what you can hope for, because he's not a home run guy, so it's not like the pre-Yankees Joey Gallo. So, like, at best, Benintendi is just going to be like a contact guy who walks. So, hooray. I don't know.
Yeah.
But as you said, like, they needed to do something, because the Joey Gallo thing wasn't working. I thought that it was nice that the Yankees got a a modest pitching prospect from the Dodgers for Gallo. That was honestly a little bit more than I expected, even if it's not that much, but hey, we'll take it.
Yeah, it was almost to the point I was just wondering, like, are the Yankees just going to have to like DFA him or actually send a prospect somewhere? Or like, you know, maybe send him to like a non-contender, but no, he actually ended up in a good spot. Again, I don't know if it's going to be necessarily good for him if, in fact, the whole New York media market pressure thing was a thing, because, I mean, LA's not that much better than New York, I would imagine, especially not on a, not on the Dodgers. But, you know, we wish him the best of luck.
Yeah, maybe the difference will be just a different set of expectations, too. Like, I think it'll be different with, like, Dodgers fans, like, know what Joey Gallo's done in the past year. So they're going to be like, okay, we'll see what happens. And if not, then they will cut ties with him pretty quickly because he's only under contract through the end of the year. And maybe right. He gets hot for a little bit. And he's, I don't even know if he's going to play every day, honestly. That's also a very crowded team. And it's also a team that has its own other lefty slugger that has hit a lot worse than he should in Cody Bellinger.
Yeah. Also, like, I just don't understand how the Dodgers don't have like a 35-man roster. Like, I feel like every time we talk about somebody, they just end up on the Dodgers. I just get confused. Like, wait, do you guys secretly have like 10 extra pit players on your roster that nobody knows about or nobody pays attention to?
Yeah. The Dodgers are weird like that. And honestly, like, you even saw that at the deadline because they like shredded some excess roster piece people who would be useful on other teams, and they're just like, you guys, you could have Zach McKinstry, you guys can have like Mitch White or whatever his name is. So yeah, Dodgers.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to Joey Gallo for a quick second. His interview with the NJ.com came out the day before like the trade deadline day sad. Was genuinely heartbreaking.
It's very sad.
And I just want to like, and this is something like, I think you and I probably have talked about at some point, but like, as fans, we just need to do better. Like,
oh, yeah.
The man, like, I get that, you know, I get that he's been struggling and like, you know, boo him or whatever. That's one thing. But if the man's just afraid to go onto the streets and like afraid to leave his apartment, like we're doing something wrong as a society.
Yeah. It's just baseball. Let the guy live his life. Let him go. Go to out to a dinner or something like that. Shouldn't be crazy, but like, I don't know. It's a bummer.
And I know people like to use the whole, oh, but sports is my escape. That's why we care so much about it. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, you know, I care livelihood. A lot about my sports too, but this is a human being we're talking about. Like, to abuse him and torture him just like that, to the point where like, he literally said like, because one of the questions was like, oh, how does it feel when you're out in the streets? Like, I don't go out in the streets. I don't show my face there. Like, no, that's not okay. And I know me saying this right now is not going to change anything, but just I wanted to put that out in the world that we need to do better. Because yeah. That shouldn't ever be the case. Unless it's a genuinely shitty garbage human being, then yeah, sure. But by all accounts, like, Joey Gallo is a good teammate, a good person. Like, you know, everything from the clubhouse, like, you know, he's built a close connection with the guys. And, you know, they all talk about how he's a great teammate, how he's a hard worker and all that. So he doesn't deserve that kind of pain.
Yeah. It's just a giant bummer. And I hope that we can collectively do better. I'm not super optimistic, but
yeah. No, neither am I, because I just know people. But
yeah, right.
I did my part. I said it on my podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh boy. I guess the last point we'll make in here is that Montas is a legitimately good pitcher who they've picked up, and this is the kind of rotation arm that they needed to add in there. He's instantly the second best guy in the rotation after Cole. Maybe he's better than Cole. Probably not, but Montas is going to be very helpful, I think, for this team down the stretch, and it's nice to have him next year too.
Yeah, no, like he's the kind of number two that we've been clamoring for since the Yankees finally went out and got a number one in Gerrit Cole. Like, it was always like, first they needed a legit like ace and they went out and actually got Gerrit Cole. But then it was like Gerrit Cole and his band of merry men, as you know, so many people had called it. And I know the first half, like, you know, in April, May, June, like the rotation was, excuse me, pitching out of their minds, but you still felt like, oh my God, they need that legitimate number two. And I know like the biggest potential there was probably Luis Severino, but we just didn't know what we were going to get from him. And now with the injury, they needed to go out and do something. And they got, again, a legitimate number two.
Right.
Who's potentially a number one if Garrett Cole keeps giving up home runs.
Yeah, this is going to be a test for him for sure. Because, you know, pitching in New York is different than pitching in Oakland. You heard it here first.
Yes.
But as long as he doesn't pitch like Sonny Gray did, then thumbs up.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to really invoke him, honestly, because they are two different pitchers, two different circumstances. I have confidence in him. I had confidence in Sonny Gray, too, but I will have confidence in Frankie Montas.
Yes. Well, although Sonny Gray did give me my opportunity for my most favorite headline after his first game where I was able to, when I was doing the news, and I wrote, Sonny's D doesn't delight. That's it. Great. That's my story.
This has been a very worthwhile story, so yes.
You brought up Sonny Gray.
That's fair. All right, well, I will also bring up an ad break, which is going to happen right now.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. So, shall we move on to the BREF update, or do you have anything else you want to hit on before?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. I mean, like you said, overall, just the general summation is overall solid, strong trade deadline, if not just a little bit weird. But what can you do?
Yeah, good deadline, but why did you trade Monty? Also play better. So that's the podcast in like 10 words or whatever.
Pretty much. Anybody who doesn't want to listen to the full thing, just skip to that timestamp.
Yes. Right as we're starting to wind down, too. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Worth it.
So, to the BREF top 12.
Yeah, so the BREF top 12. First, obviously, it's Aaron Judge with 6.1 because he's just playing in easy mode again.
Yeah. Still hitting tons of home runs.
He's almost two full wins better than the next guy on the list, was DJ LeMahieu at 4.3. Nestor Cortez, 2.9. Gleyber Torres, 2.7. Jose Trevino, who's had a wonderful week, by the way, 2.6. I think he's had three home runs this week. And my favorite update of this is Matt Carpenter, which he's been on the list for a while now, but they updated his picture on BREF, so now it's actually him and his mustache in all of its glory.
Hooray! Welcome to Pinstripes, Matt Carpenter. It only just happened now.
Anthony Rizzo, who's also been very good since the All-Star break, is at 7 with 2.1.
Yeah, he had a little streak in there where he had homers in four consecutive games. So
yeah,
he's heating back up.
He's definitely, you know, been solid. Our fallen prince, Michael King, is there at 8 with the flat two wins. Clay Holmes, Garrett Cole, who was shooting up the rankings, fell all the way down to 10th.
Goodness. This is what happens when you give up home runs to Jared Kelenic. I mean, sorry, man.
Yeah. Clay Holmes, Garrett Cole, and Josh Donaldson are 9, 10, and 11 in that order, but they all have like 1 point or worth 1.7 BWAR. So it's probably just like micro fractions separating them. And then IKF at number 12, which I believe he's been there since last week.
He's been there for a few weeks now, honestly. A
couple weeks now, and it's genuinely am surprised by his face every single time I reload this.
I think he's a little surprised by it, too. It's like a very pleasant surprise, too. He's like, oh. Yeah. It's like your grandma just told you, oh, by the way, I made some dessert. And you're like, oh.
Ooh, I like dessert.
Ooh, he like wiggles his fingers, you know, like Homer Simpson.
And like, IKF has still been like lacking in the power department, but for a little while now, I want to say since like the All-Star break, he's been quietly decently solid. Like, he has a 298 batting average, 298, 313, 319 as his slash line, which is basically solid, solid, and oh my god, please have some power.
Yeah, this is what he is at his best. I mean, it's like, yeah, okay, fine.
I'm genuinely curious if he's genuinely gonna run into a home run at all or not.
Yeah, so here's the thing though, like, since the All-Star break, yeah, that's what he's hitting 298, but it's also just an 81 WRC plus, so it's basically exactly what he's been doing on the year. So yeah. I don't know. They should still call up Oswald Peraza. I'm tired of this guy.
Yeah,
but that's a topic for another day.
And I do not remember IKF having a four-hit game against Pittsburgh in July.
Oh, it's the power of the Pirates, man.
Yeah. I do remember this because he had 7 hits in the 2 games. Yeah, he had a 3-hit game the night before. I remember calling that out, and I think I actually gave him the Yankee of the Week just for that, because I'm like, I don't think it's ever going to happen again.
Maybe. Yeah, we have fish memories on this podcast, so it's like we say something and then maybe we'll remember the next week, but probably not, and definitely not 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, I was saying, you have a better chance of remembering than I do. Yeah. I'm terrible with this.
And I will say, Clay Holmes, another rough outing for him to end July. He was the reason that the Yankees did not sweep the Royals, because he got blown up in the 9th. 3 runs, just recorded 2 outs, so not great, not great. Gave up his first home run of the year, which I guess is a privilege that we made it this far without the closer giving up a home run, but yeah, he's been a little rough.
Yeah.
Not much else you can say. Hope he turns it around. I think he will, but July was not kind to him.
No, it wasn't, and I know, you know, there was a lot of pressure on him and Michael King for a little while, and then Michael King got hurt, and it was basically just, oh god, Clay Holmes is the only reliever we trust. So hopefully with Trevino coming in and, you know, pitching more to his metrics than his ERA would help. Scott Efros,
you got it. Scott, not Zac Efron.
Not Zac Efron, who you and I have made that mistake way too many times amongst ourselves. But yeah, Scott Efros obviously is having a very good season for the Cubs. Hopefully he'll continue that with the Yankees, and, you know, just take some pressure off of Holmes, and, you know, they've quietly built back up their bullpen to be a strength.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. And, you know, Chapman is pitching a little bit better lately, but I don't know. I will never trust him. So it's,
no,
but
like we were talking about it in our slide.
And if Loaisiga wants to pitch a little bit better, as he has been a little bit lately, then maybe that would help too. Anyway, yeah, but you were saying.
I still trust Loaisiga more than Chapman. Yeah, no, we were thinking our Slack. I think Matt was saying that, like, you know, Chapman would have to have like a 20 inning scoreless streak for him to, like, potentially even think about trusting him again. And my mind is just immediately like, oh god, he's due to give up runs.
Yeah.
In that scenario, not that he's back, it's, oh my god, he's due.
Okay, so here is what I am putting some hope in. So Loaisiga got knocked around a little bit on July 14th, but since then, 8 games, 6.2 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. So that's a 1.35 ERA. This is the Loaisiga we saw more of last year. Not as many strikeouts, but hey, if he can be effective, then that would be a big boon to the bullpen as well. So they are making strides.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Hopefully it was just a rough stretch, and August would be better to the Yankees overall.
Yeah. And
this would be a good time to have Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, well, Gary Sanchez is also going through his own issues, but I guess he all shows out for August.
I meant just because of August.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm not exactly pining for him right now, because Trevino has made the catcher position fun and solid, but exactly. It was just an August joke.
Yeah, let's move on to the Yankee and Manfred of the week. All right, so who is your Yankee of the week?
I'm going to reluctantly say Brian Cashman.
Reluctantly.
I'm going to say reluctantly because, like, I'm still not in love with the Montgomery trade. Again, I can squint and make it make sense, even if, and like, I still, like I said, I'm 100% convinced myself that, there was another trade in the works that just fell through, and, you know, he just jumped the gun a little bit. But I still give him like a B+ for this trade deadline. Personally, again, Andrew Benintendi was probably the third or fourth best outfielder that was quote unquote available but he was probably the first or second best outfielder that the Yankees apparently legitimately had a shot for. They went and got him first week, notwithstanding of just not being impressive, but he has walked a ton, at least, so there's something, I guess. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Frankie Montas being a legitimate good starter that this team needed, so kudos on that. Lou Trevino and Scott Efros, almost called him Zach Efron again, are definitely solid acquisitions. Obviously, Trevino's numbers are, his ERA is not impressive, but everything else about him is impressive, and, you know, he's already made two appearances and both have been solid, so if there's a team that, which is weird to say, if there's a team that can unlock pitching potential, it's the Yankees, which I don't really, like, you know, it's not a thing I would have said like 3 years ago, but...
Sorry, hey, Larry Rothschild.
Yeah. Matt Blake, very, very good at his job, so yeah. And then again, getting a legitimate, potentially one day solid reliever for Joey Gallo, like a legitimate prospect. I don't think he's probably not going to be like the ace of a rotation in the major league level at any point, but you know, he's somebody who will eventually become somebody, probably. Definitely better than like you and I were expecting for Joey Gallo, considering the calendar year he's had. I don't even want to say the year he's had in 2022, but just since he came to the Yankees, it's been brutal. So kudos for that.
Yeah, I think I would probably go closer to like B-, just because the Montgomery thing was so weird. But yeah, so if you look at it, Yankees at the All-Star break versus Yankees now, they are a better team. They swapped in Montas for Montgomery. Montas is unquestionably a better pitcher than Montgomery. They made their bullpen better with Efros and Trevino. And then they also added Benintendi over Gallo. Gallo was not working. They needed to make a change. Maybe Benintendi won't work out, but at least it's something different. So, yes, this team is better. The question is, did they need to get rid of the rotation depth? Because depth is so important with pitchers, especially. And I think something that it seemed like the Yankees were acknowledging when they had traded for Montas, when Montgomery was still on the team, is that, yes, their depth is important and that they would need to build that up. But then they, like, sort of scrapped that. Like, depth is what's made, like, the Dodgers so dominant over the past decade. And we won't harp on it any further, but it was just weird. Anyway.
And I will say, I don't think we talked about him already. And just, I will say, like, I do think it's also, like, a testament to how much they believe in the potential of Clark Schmidt, who's mm-hmm. going to be stretched out. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we get to a point where he's being in the rotation or seeing significant innings compared to Domingo Armand. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely weird, but I guess you trade from your depth. And I can see the Bader thing because, like, you want somebody a little bit more reliable to try and take some center field innings out of away from Aaron Judge. But, yeah, like I said, again, it's a little reluctant, but I still think Brian Cashman did a solid job this week. So he's my Yankee of the week.
Yeah, and I will not we've already talked a little bit long about Yankee of the Week, so I'll make it very easy for my Yankee of the Week. It's Aaron Judge. He keeps hitting dingers. My God, he has 43 dingers. Jesus. The end.
31 more.
Second straight AL Player of the Week honor for him. So,
and Player of the Month, I think, for July?
He was Player of the Month in July, I'm pretty sure.
Which is just funny because of how the Yankees have been in July. I don't want to say they've been bad, but they've been eh.
Yeah.
And Aaron Judge has tried to weather that storm.
Aaron Judge, good at hitting the baseballs. And on a related note, hopefully we'll get Giancarlo Stanton back in the lineup soon, because this lineup could really use another big guy like that. Because, you know, they're getting it from Judge, they're getting it from Rizzo, but with Benintendi slumping, Aaron Hicks in a bad funk. I'll spoil it right now. Manfred of the Week. Aaron Hicks is my Manfred of the Week. He's not getting hits. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, they could really stand back in that lineup.
Yeah. I will throw a little kudos to Josh Donaldson, who's had a very good couple games. So hopefully his bat's coming around, because it hasn't been around for a while. We'll see. But yeah hopefully, like, that happens, and because they could use it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. Who's your Manfred of the Week?
It's Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
That was an easy decision. I hate that it was an easy decision, but yeah, it's Garrett Cole.
Come on, man.
You don't have Billy Crystal to blame for a six-run deficit before I think he even got an out.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. There was no outs before it got to 6-0.
He had an out after it got to 4-0, and then he gave up the kill on a home run, and then it was 6-0.
That's what it was.
One out into the game, and you've given up 6 runs. Good job, man.
Yeah. Like, yes, he did bounce back for the remainder of the time he was in there. I think he ended up with 6 innings pitched, or 5, I forget exactly.
6, it was weird. Yeah. It was like a normal Garrett Cole star after the first inning, but yeah, you can't discount it. Yeah.
And I guess it's been the opposite of his last two starts, where like he's been normal Gerrit Cole and then just had the one blow up inning.
Yeah, that should not get lost in this too, that like they probably should have lost another one of those Royals games, because he did not put in a very good start, got smoked by Salvador Perez in his first game back from the IL. So 6 innings, 5 runs against the Royals, that's not good.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
Alas, Gerrit Cole, be better. Yeah.
He's looked closer to the Cole that he was at the very beginning of the season, when he was still complaining about Billy Crystal and stuff. But like for pretty much every start between like mid-April and mid-July, he was pretty good, other than the blow up in Minnesota. But that was the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah.
So, Gerrit Cole, do better. And I guess, again, I will reiterate myself, Aaron Hicks, my man for the week. You've got to do better, man. And I know that like, I think part of the reason that they got Bader is because they don't really have a ton of long-term confidence in Hicks. So,
which is probably fair at this point.
No, completely fair. And that's even with, like, he had played pretty well in for most of June and July. Yeah. Basically, he restored his numbers to looking normal. And now they're starting to slide back down again, and they could really use him not doing that. So, okay.
Sometimes.
Anything else, or are we wrapping this up now?
No, I think that's about it. Weird week. Hopefully, better things to come.
Yeah.
Sum it up.
Yeah, we got 3 in St. Louis when they'll face. We got Jordan Montgomery against Domingo Germán on Saturday, because of course we do.
Yeah, we get Frankie Montas's debut.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah, and we should say he has joined the team late because his mother-in-law passed away, so he has been away with the team. That is an unfortunate way to begin a new chapter of your life, so we are thinking of him for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then after that, 3 in Seattle, West Coast games that Kunj will not stay up for.
No.
And then 3 in Boston against whatever that team is now. They had a weird-ass deadline.
Yeah, speaking of weird deadlines, Boston Red Sox, what are you doing?
I don't know. I mean, I appreciate them trying to tear it down, but it's also weird that they're like, let's get Tommy Pham in here just for fun. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll
trade our catcher across the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the Ichiro trade with the Yankees, more than a few years ago, like a decade ago.
Hey.
Yeah, that makes you feel old. And then, they go out. I don't know what the hell they're doing. And now all of a sudden, Cosmer is a Red Sox.
Eric Hosmer is also on the Red Sox team, which is just exceedingly funny. We'll see what happens with that. But
and they're paying him the minimum.
Yeah, honestly, like from their end, I almost get it, because it's just like their first base defense has been absolutely atrocious. And if you're getting Hosmer for the middle one, then sure, whatever. Yeah. Why not? Go nuts. And they can try to do better in the offseason. They are a weird team. And when your star, Xander Bogaerts, is in the deal, he did an interview. He was like, I'm not really sure what we're doing. That's a bad sign.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody knows what the hell they're doing.
And yet, they are still not far enough out for me to be super comfortable with it. So I need them to just bury themselves.
Pretty much. And yeah, and if Eric Hosmer is owed $45 million and the team sending you basically $44 million to take him, you do it.
Yeah. Like I guess this, I don't know if this is like meant to be like a point of like, oh, this was good, but like it's like the Vernon Wells thing when the Yankees got him. It's like, yeah, sure, he's probably not going to do much, but we're desperate for an outfielder, so maybe he'll do something. And it worked for a month, and then the rest of 2013 happened.
Well, I think he has been like a little bit slightly above average with the bat, so sure.
Yeah. All right.
Whatever.
Anyway, go tune into the Over the Monster podcast. We're done here.
Yes.
No Red Sox suck. They suck.
Yeah.
Okay. May they continue to sink themselves into last place. And on that note, you can follow us on Twitter at Pinstrip Alley. Follow me on Twitter at Mearns PSA. Have any random words for any other teams?
Blue banana camera.
Good. Good. I hope they all took that in mind. I'm sure Tony La Russa is thinking about it deeply.
Yes. He's like the only one who's like, oh yes, I get you.
Yes. That was in my dream the other day when I was sleeping in the White Sox dugout.
So my actual answer to your question is, holy shit, the Padres got Juan Soto. What an incredible deadline for them.
And Josh Bell. And they just got him thrown into the deal, and he's been an unbelievable first baseman this year. So
absolutely.
AJ Preller is just he wants to get it done, and I salute him for it.
I respect it. I respect it.
I salute and it more than I salute it more than the Orioles just dumping whoever's good around, basically. So.
Oh yeah, that's my other thing. I am so mad at the Orioles because I need them to finish in fourth this year, and they're trying their damnedest to finish last.
Jerks.
Jerk stories. Right. And you would think that they're two games at whatever. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Go Padres, don't go Orioles.
Yankees... do go Orioles so that they're better than the Red Sox.
Well, yeah. And hopefully my Yankees over Padres World Series pick pans out.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. All right. That'll do it for us. Take care. Bye.
See ya.